everybody, welcome to episode 41 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
And we're here to talk about some shit. We should start off with business. I just want to say this. We have the meetup coming up,
yes,
which we have already talked about and plugged via Facebook and stuff like that. But May 13th, Cat and Fiddle, 7 o'clock p.m., Final Draft is hosting a meetup with Thomas Lennon and Robert Ben-Gurion, who are members of the State, did Reno 911, and has written probably one of the best books on screenwriting that exist, writing movies for fun and profit. I've already read the book, and I'm actually rereading it. You have started reading it. You haven't gotten very far, but what's your take on it so far?
I like the way they're saying the kind of the same things we're saying, but they're saying them in a funny way.
And
funnier way.
And have a shit ton more experience. These
a
guys
fuckload more experience.
These guys are literally the only screenwriters in the business right now that can boast the fact that their movies have brought in over $1 billion at the box office. So, no joke. These guys.
They're actors, comedians,
directors, creators.
Exactly. They're all over the place with their shit, and what they're saying in the book is...
You need to know. You need to know. So, if you have not come across the book, Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, find it, read it, love it. You're going to learn a lot more than listening to us every week. That's not true.
Okay. One of the things I love that they said that was apropos to today,
mm-hmm,
was never stop writing.
Right.
So, never stop writing means you're walking around, you see something, it clicks to you. You're talking with somebody, something clicks to you.
Writing doesn't always mean sitting in front of your laptop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Talking about things, living life.
That can bring you to a dead halt, as a matter of fact, sitting in front of your laptop hoping to write.
Agreed.
Talking with people about writing is... Well,
given the fact that I spent most of my morning staring at my iPad and a blinking cursor, and then we went to brunch and fixed a whole bunch of problems, and now I have
things
to write.
On the walk on the way there, sitting there, and you were... I have to say this, which Benny won't like, but at one point, Benny says, "Stop talking to me!" He literally said,
like,
"Stop talking to me."
Yeah.
Because he had something in mind with the script, which I was not discounting. I have not finished the script, so obviously I can't say whether it'll work or it won't work, but I was throwing ideas out there because I know Manny does that. Manny gets ideas from other people. They aren't literal to what the person said, but he can go off of that. And I was just trying to get it out there, and as soon as he shut up for 5 seconds, I totally put the idea in his head, and he went, "Oh, fine. Yes, that, you know what, that even works. I think that's going to work better." Or, yeah, I can see how I can get that in. Manny's not big on writing scary, and I knew his script was not going to be scary enough, and it needed to be scared up. So a couple ideas we talked about, I think, put a little bit more, although I'm going to read the script, and of course I'm going to go, "No, this will be scarier this way, blah, blah, blah," but at least those are some big ideas that we came up with.
Agreed, and getting off topic, but going back to the original topic, that is a form of writing. We sat there and wrote without physically putting words to paper. And I think a lot of times people are under the assumption that when somebody says always be writing, it doesn't mean the physical act of typing.
No,
or
it's whether
or
you're
writing.
Making notes on your iPhone.
Yeah, always be creating, I think, should probably be
a better way of
saying it.
I agree.
So again, May 13th meetup will be there. I know there's going to be more than a few of you who are listening right now that are going to be there. Come find us.
And it doesn't matter. It's a night out.
Yeah. In Hollywood.
It's a night out.
The meetup is actually going to be between 7 and 9. And then at 9 o'clock, they're actually going to screen Reno 911 Miami in the courtyard of Cat and Fiddle. Obviously, it's not a shut up and watch the movie situation. It's going to be on in the background. The party will continue.
Right.
Other forms of business. We kind of struck out this weekend on a couple of guests, but we have a very special guest coming up, and I'm not going to ruin it just in case he bails next weekend.
Because we will smack you and you know who you are.
But we are working on having our friend Juan on the show, who is...
Okay, you said his name. Okay, then he now knows who he is.
Yes. Juan is the, believe it or not, is the world's foremost expert on 3D editing. And may or may not have been involved in a movie that starts with Star. And may or may not be working on another movie that starts with Star. So, you do the math on that one, but we'll have him on the show soon in the next couple of weeks, hopefully next weekend, and we will talk all things nerdy. Warning, two things. Number one, the conversation is going to be very technical and very nerdy. Number two, Juan is from Spain. We will try very hard to subtitle as much as we possibly can.
Technical and nerdy and with an accent.
But Juan is a huge teddy bear, and he's a dear friend of ours, so... we're very much looking forward to having him on the show.
It will be too fun.
I thought one of the things that we could talk about this week, and I kind of just thought of this, but a couple of weeks ago, people really responded to our conversation about rom-coms. And, I was thinking about it because you mentioned Pain and Gain earlier. We saw Iron Man 3 yesterday, which was fucking amazing. But one of the things that I thought we could do is maybe tackle another genre, and given the fact that this is sort of our wheelhouse, we could talk about the action genre and how much it's changed over the years, and sort of action for the new era. One of the things that comes to mind is the fact, specifically James Bond. You had a huge problem with Skyfall. But the character has sort of changed. I'm not going to get a scratch on me action hero is not the case anymore. We now, James Bond gets beat up.
That's a standard in a fight scene, is that somebody else gets 1, 2, 3 punches in on James Bond. That's a standard. Or he's in a situation where, oh, surely he must die.
But he's also, I think that he's also, well, more so action.
They
action
didn't
heroes.
Have enough of those. That is the issue. The issue is you have to have.
He might have got a couple of punches in to his face, but he never showed signs of it afterwards.
No, there was bruising or scars. Never the amazing escape. Amazing escapes. It's the joke about the I'm over the sharks. Tell me your plan. You know what I mean? Escape. But you're about to die. But now you're, it's because you had a pin in your wrist that
You're way off course. So let's get away from James Bond, because Pain and Gain, and even specifically Iron Man 3, where the action hero is a lot darker, more vulnerable.
Well, you're talking about two different types of movies, so you can't
Not true.
One's based on reality of idiots, and the other one's based on a comic book, so completely different stories.
Different stories, but same characters.
Go.
Robert Downey Jr., his Tony Stark, which has largely been in the comic books, but is horribly flawed character. He's somewhat self-destructive.
Yet brilliant.
To
who in Pain and Gain?
Yes.
Who is that in Pain and Gain?
Okay. If you're going to hook all of your argument on brilliance...
You're hooking...
What do you got
that's comparable?
Did you just not hear me?
So you're talking about...
The Rock.
Wahlberg?
The Rock was great, right? Cokehead.
He was a sheep. He was literally
follower. He's the Rock.
Playing the Rock. The sheep. So who do you compare that to in Tony Stark? the Sheik character.
I'm talking about in action movies. Mm-hmm. Would you agree that Pain and Gain was an action movie? Or would you call that a drama?
A drama.
Really? With Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't, in reality, the show, it probably was not.
It was
not
a Michael
that...
Bay movie. My point being is that action movies have changed. Can we agree on that?
Yes. Okay. We can agree on that.
So then how have you seen action movies changed? Moving from the 80s, action movies of the 80s, to now.
They've still gone two ways, because we still talked about Jack Reacher having two completely different fight scenes that we've never seen in an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were not explosions. They were not blah,
would you
blah,
compare,
which I don't expect.
Would you compare
Jack Reacher?
Would you compare Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher to Patrick Swayze's Dalton in Roadhouse? Or would you say that those two characters are completely different
in
terms of tone?
No, I would compare those more to a James Bond. You can't compare James Bond with a Jack Reacher or Roadhouse. Here's the letdown of James Bond, is he's not supposed to be Roadhouse. If we wanted to watch Roadhouse, we fucking watch Roadhouse. I want him to have a gadget that makes him fly on his own, and or some sort of spacesuit. Or I want gadgets with James Bond.
Yes, I understand.
That's
you
my
want ga- I understand
that.
You
That's
want gadgets.
It.
I understand you want gadgets. But okay. do you understand how the character has changed? That Sean Connery's version of James Bond is very different than Roger Moore's version
Absolutely.
Of James Bond. And can you see the natural progression of the character via the decades that they've taken place in? Sean Connery started in the 60s and 70s. Roger Moore was 70s, 80s. The Timothy Dalton
who
James Bond.
Who in the last Bond, who did he sleep with?
That is a good... Oh, he did sleep with somebody. The girl that got killed. The girl that got shot in the head.
See, that's
I don't
not
even
apropos
remember.
James Bond.
Yeah, there was no Bond girl.
There's a sex scene at the end.
Yes,
which...
you're talking about the movie. I want you to focus on the character.
That's what
the
I'm
character
talking
of James
about.
Bond. Okay, yeah, but you're
has,
talking about gadgets and shit like
he
that.
He has
He's vulnerable.
Things to live up to. Yes, but he also has to be having
so
sex
Daniel,
with a woman
yes,
on the way out of the
can,
movie.
Can you agree that the Daniel Craig version of James Bond, not looking at Skyfall, looking at the entire run of Daniel Craig, is different from the Pierce Brosnan?
Yes.
James, okay. How so?
Not as sexy.
Rougher.
Going more towards action instead of the sexy, debonair.
Now.
Okay. Kind of
awesome. Now, do you think there is a correlation between the time? So Pierce Brosnan, was probably late 90s, early 2000s. And now we're dealing in a 2010, post 9/11.
Sure, who produced it?
Oh, same person, Broccoli. It's the same. It's been the same producer for 24
so who,
movies.
So who changed the genre? Who did that?
Thank you. We are now on the same page of the things that we want to talk about. The genre has changed.
Right.
And
so
people,
who did it? So you know that
I think
whatever
the
writer
have done it.
Or whatever.
I think
it was not us.
I think audiences have changed it.
No. I disagree.
So that's like the
government is making decisions for us, not based on what we said, based on what they think we
okay,
are going to
well,
say.
Okay, then fine. Let's take a more blatant character. Let's take Batman. Is it fair to say that the Bruce Wayne / Batman in Christopher Nolan films was a much darker, deeper, depressing Batman than, say, the Batman in Tim Burton's and Joel Schumacher's Batman?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so
they lost the romantic part of it. The romantic part of it was he was infallible, he was rich, he was already set.
So do you think that audiences wanted the
no,
Christopher
I,
Nolan Batman?
I don't. We don't go to the movies for that reason.
Okay. So.
I don't go to the movies. I go to look for something that isn't in my ordinary, everyday life.
Would you?
I don't need to see a guy whose father got killed. Yeah, I know. I get that. I talk to those people all the time. Uh-huh. That
How
if
many
your
people
whole
do you
life
talk to
is...
that whose father has been killed? Anyway.
Do you want a list?
This is such a failing
conversation. No, it isn't. You know? They have gone past... Hollywood is supposed to be romantic. It's supposed to be what is everyday life. I want you to give me something that can't happen.
The rom-com changed, so how has the action genre changed?
I think it's almost trying to be too realistic.
Okay, yes.
Funny enough.
So do you... there's two different conversations I want to have right now. Realism. Do you think that audiences need realism?
Yeah.
By the way, if you haven't seen Iron Man 3, number one, you're probably one of like 25 people that haven't seen it this weekend. And number two, spoiler alert, but the sort of plot of Iron Man 3 is very steeped in terrorism and, ironically, bombings. Yes. So, do you...
Well,
it's bombings. No spoiler. Let's keep it spoiler-free. Right, the bombings are a little bit ridiculous, but they are still terrorist bombings. Yes.
Well, yeah.
So, do you feel like having Iron Man 3 steeped in reality, or even Iron Man in general... helps or hurts?
What part of reality did you see in any of that? I mean, literally, the guy spends all day doing nothing but whatever he wants to.
I'm talking about terrorist bombings. Terrorist bombings. We just had Boston. Terrorist bombing.
Oh.
Yes, it's ridiculous. It could have been, you know, G.I. Joe dealt with fucking nanotechnology and weird bullshit.
By the way, I do not love the... America needs somebody to blame, and they need a certain picture of somebody to blame.
Yeah. That's, but I mean, again, that's...
very funny.
Yes, absolutely, but that's very realistic.
It is very... Okay, that is realistic, faking it?
Would you argue...
No, that was unrealistic in the fact
would
that...
Would you argue that this Iron Man 3 was more realistic than the first two?
Mm.
And if so, why did they change?
I think they reference more timely things, but I don't think it was, as far as we know, any more realistic than any of the others.
Okay, well then let me shift gears. The Avengers, aliens, wormholes. Do you think that
totally realistic?
Okay, so
totally, yeah, Avengers, wormholes. Yep.
Realistic. Obviously, I'm not saying that was realistic. I'm saying Iron Man 3 is the next movie in the sequence. So do you think Iron Man 3 was more steeped in reality than the Avengers was? The answer is yes. Number two, I want to bring up the fact that they had Tony Stark having panic attacks. Spoiler alert. Is that not flawed, realistic? I mean, I'm trying to get you to see, like, has the action genre changed for better or worse?
Why don't you just say what your point is, Manny, instead of just ask questions?
I just said it.
You just asked a question.
Do you?
You think what,
Manny? I think the action genre has changed.
In what way?
I think that it has become... I think the characters have to be... I don't want to say... I don't mean more realistic, but I feel like the action heroes that we have now are much more fallible than we had, than the action heroes we had in the 80s and 90s.
Agree.
And I think when you're writing a character, when you're sitting down and you've decided to write an action genre, you can't write Schwarzenegger anymore. You can't, even when you're dealing with somebody like The Rock or Vin Diesel, or you can't write those characters. Those characters cannot exist anymore.
It makes them more dimensional. They have more dimensions to them. Obviously, that makes them more interesting, but they always have to have that infallibility. They have to be, to a point, you know Tony Stark isn't dying. You know what I mean? In your heart, you know Tony Stark isn't dying, no matter what horrible thing is about to happen. And that you need to have in there. And that there's going to be a girl. And there's a very specific formula for this, and I think that needs to hold true. And I think that's bothered me about the last James Bond, is I didn't feel like there's a woman tying the whole thing together. Like, he always ends up with a woman, and it's a some kind of very funny scene at the end of he's off in a submarine with a woman having sex.
I think James Bond's motivation has always been stop the bad guy but save the girl, and I think that's in all reality the save the
that
girl
is what happened.
In all reality, the save the girl in Skyfall was M,
right,
which he did not, spoiler alert.
So fail,
yeah,
for me.
No,
as far
I agree.
As James Bond goes,
I agree.
So
moving on to something else, because that was a complete utter failure of a conversation.
Shut
compared
up,
to the
not,
rom-com
but yes, okay. There was,
well, you know what, I while we're on this, because I know we will not disagree on this, let's just very briefly talk about the horror genre. The horror genre has changed incredibly in the past 10 or 15 years. The slasher movie has become more of a boo. The boo aspect
is more important than the graphic.
Than the graphic. I think the days of Halloween and, I mean, Friday the 13th, they tried to remake, and that was
Saw.
Horrible Bond.
What is
Saw,
that on, like, 10?
As far as I know, Saw is 11? Done. Thank you.
No,
but,
I don't even... Yeah, I know, but seriously, that's...
We had a brief stint in the 2000s of torture porn.
Mm-hmm.
You had your Saws, you had your mm-hmm. Hostels, you had your Final Destinations, and... I guess to a certain extent, we still get a Final Destination every now and then. Or,
I tolerate
or a
Final Destination only because it's comic relief.
Oh, agreed.
Other than that, the
I
the
love
ones you mentioned,
I love the Final Destination movies.
Those, I had no use for them.
I
saw the first one to get the gist of it and went, yeah, that I have no use for that. That's.
But so no now use. We're, you know, back in. People always go to the horror genre as getting their foot in the door because there have, for history's sake, have been very cheap to make, have been very widely
True.
Received. But having $1 million and going out into the woods and making Evil Dead is now having $1 million and setting cameras up
the
in your house and having ghosts.
The bar has been raised.
Yeah.
You know, it's real hard to figure out a different
a
avenue
way,
to
a
come di- from. You know,
well, in the horror genre...
Something new that somebody hasn't seen before.
The horror genre is so
saturated.
Formulaic.
Yeah,
it's
and
so
it's
formulaic.
Saturated with every type of... What if this happened?
Yeah.
And which is what we joke about all the time, is like throwing aliens in the end, because it's like everybody's trying to figure out a different angle.
Different angle, yeah.
And
a different hook, yeah.
But it's going...
But
you know, I understand that. I get it. It's hard.
For the record, people, we're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah.
I'm literally...
Several.
I got 10 pages to go, and I'm trying to find the hook.
Yeah.
That... Well, no, we've seen
Need
that.
A hook.
Yeah. Last thing I kind of want to touch on is... last weekend, we talked about House of Cards. And I want to thank... The three or four of you that written in and said you've started watching House of Cards, I'm very happy, and thanked us for recommending it. Very happy you guys are into the show. We dig it. But coming off of House of Cards, I am taking Cheryl back on a journey. a journey, by the way, I caught up after the show ended. But I started getting Cheryl into watching The West Wing yesterday. And... one of the things, well, actually, before I even make a statement, I just kind of want to get your feedback on The West Wing and what you like about it.
I think, well, you know, it's the shocking things that we talked about, that the things from
before,
20...
Wait, hang on. Before you go there, because I do want you to go there.
Okay, but then I'll do something else.
No, before there, I want you to talk about, like, the writing and the... And...
Yes. They were very kind. It was a kind... This is almost like the old people saying, remember when back in the 50s when everybody was nice? This is... If you go back and watch this show, everybody
compared to
nice.
House of Cards. Compared to House of Cards.
Yeah,
yeah,
seriously. Everybody was... There was like some moral shit going on there. People were not trying to be mean to other people.
There was... With the exception of one or two things... And by the way... Cheryl's only about 8 episodes into the first season. There are things that changes.
We went from beepers to phones. So, that's
yeah.
cool.
technical level, but there is a, with the exception of a couple of small points and very subtle points, there's little to no manipulation going on, per se, to get what they want.
Not really.
They're not playing.
It's like blatant, I will fuck you up the ass if you don't do this. It's not like a subtle, who knows what will happen in the next election, sir.
They're not playing chess.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not playing chess.
You're on our side, you're not on our
side. Which is the beauty of House of Cards, because House of Cards is an entire chess game.
Totally.
Okay, now let's talk about the sad part of the show.
Yes, that we're literally, so every major issue that they have during that show, they do Waco, they do guns.
Okay, they're literally
right
trying to pass
a bill.
In the
middle of an argument about gun law.
And it's literally, they're literally arguing about the AR-15, which is what we're arguing about right now.
Which bullets? These are cop killers. We shouldn't have these bullets. Don't limit our bullets.
Mac-10s.
How about magazines?
We should...
And literally, so 20 years ago, we were having the same exact argument that we're having right now. And completely fucking sad.
Yeah.
It's so disheartening to... We have... Because Hollywood is the mirror of what society is.
And at the time, the West Wing was very...
It was.
Yeah.
And that is what the era was. They were still polite. Congress was not like it is today. Like, how about fuck you, black man? You know what I mean? It was not that. So the fact that it's come to where we are now, oh my God, it's really disheartening. I want to go back to the 50s now.
You wouldn't have the right to vote.
Ah, you know, you're going to give up some things for, yeah. Actually,
wait,
no,
is
not
that
50s.
True?
No, not 50s.
Did you have the right to vote in the 50s?
Yes.
Yay, history. Public schools, people. Public schools. Anything else you want to say about West Wing? You're digging the show.
Totally digging
the
show.
The dialogue is phenomenal.
Love that all the old actors that are showing up that we know now.
Everybody was on that show.
Please.
We just saw an episode in the first season where Nick Offerman has a very Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
And he does his Stern.
He's only got one.
Amazing.
He's like he's like Patrick Warburton.
Oh right.
He's only got one thing.
No, that's who he's gonna be.
Okay, so
Read that book.
Read the book.
I will read the book also.
Yes, you should do that.
And if I find other funny things in there,
we will talk about them
next week.
Hopefully, we'll have one next week.
Hopefully.
If you guys don't already know, download us on iTunes, find us on Facebook, find us on our website. We're posting the show every Monday.
We won't be posting right now through Bozy.
Yes, we are done. We are done with Bozy.
So you'll need to go find us over there.
Obviously, if you're listening to us, you found us anyway. So, but that is done. So I think that's our show for this week.
I think so too.
All right, let's go watch some more West Wing.
Do it.
All right, for breaking in this week, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out. Come to smash everything in my path. Fork was in the road, took the psychopath. Poison ivy went and had me thinking rash. So hit the dance floor, cutie, while I do my duty on this microphone. Shake your booty, shorty, I'm the shit. Why you think Proof used to call me duty?